be in chapter 6. Given the background of Hosea in the opening verse of the book, and in that opening verse we learn that Hosea ministered during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. These were kings in the southern kingdom of Judah. And he began his ministry during the reign of Jeroboam II, who was king of the northern kingdom of Israel. So from that information in chapter 1 and verse 1, we learn that his ministry would have spanned the reigns of the last six kings of Israel. And of the last six kings of Israel, I show you how troublesome the time was. Four of those kings were murdered. One was carried into captivity into Syria. The time period covered, the time period of Hosea is covered in 2 Kings chapter 14 through chapter 17, 2 Chronicles chapters 26 through 32. If you read those chapters, you get a pretty good idea of what is going on in the book of Hosea. So that's the setting of the book. Hosea ministered to the northern kingdom of Israel, again, during the last six kings. And, of course, it was a time that sin permeated the land, permeated the lives of God's people. They had completely turned from God and turned unto Baal. And all through the book, their sin is illustrated to be that of spiritual adultery and harlotry. And the book of Hosea is basically a story. You know that Hosea was commanded to marry a woman, and then she, of course, would leave him. And all of that was to illustrate the relationship between God and his people. So it's really a story of one-sided love. Though it concerns God and his people, it's a story of one-sided love. God loved them, but they turned against God. We'd like to read Hosea 6. Begin reading in verse 1. Come, let us return unto the Lord. That's always a remedy. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. No one tears like the Lord, and no one heals like the Lord. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. No one smites like the Lord, and no one binds up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And the third day, he will raise us up. Picture of resurrection. And we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. And we'll stop right there. We want to consider those words. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Those are words of exhortation. Those are words of encouragement. They're words that should incite us to action. The action is follow on. Follow on to know the Lord. They are words of advice. The advice is follow on to know the Lord. They are words of assurance. The assurance is, then shall we know. Then shall we know. If we follow unto know the Lord, then shall we know. They are conditional words, indicated by the word if. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. They're words of opportunity. They're words of responsibility. We're to follow on. We're to follow on. And the words of an extraordinary possibility to know the Lord. To know the Lord. Follow on to know the Lord. Those words ought to be descriptive of our life. So I want to speak tonight on an ongoing pursuit to know God. An ongoing pursuit to know God. That should be our life. That should be our life. An ongoing pursuit to know the Lord. First of all, consider what it is to know God. The agnostic says that there is a God, but he cannot be known. Well, the Bible does declare that there is a God. But the Bible declares that he can be known. And we are to follow on to know the Lord. So this is an extraordinary possibility to know the Lord. First of all, this phrase, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, declares that God is. He exists. Not only does he exist, not only is he who he is, he can be known. God can be known, and I can know him. It's not just God can be known, but I can know him. The one who has declared, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool, can be known by man. And I can know him. I can know him. In Psalm 9, in verse 10, reference is made to they that know thy name. They that know thy name. All through Scripture, his name, of course, is indicative of who he is. They that know thy name. They that know. They that know. What a wonderful thing to be a part of. The they that know. In Jeremiah 9:24, God speaks of those that knoweth me. Knoweth me. That is, it is a continual and ongoing knowledge. It's not just that we knew God, but we knoweth God. It is continual. It is ongoing. Daniel 11, verse 32, we read of the people that do know their God. John 17, 3, Jesus said, and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That they might know thee, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. You cannot know one without knowing the other. Jehovah's Witnesses are in grave error You do not know God the Father without knowing Jesus Christ. And if you want to, if Jehovah's Witness comes to your door and you don't want them to stay long, just preach Jesus to them. They'll leave pretty quick. And that's what they need to hear. We read in 1 John 4, verse 6, he that knoweth God. 1 John 5, 20, that we may know him that is true. So God can be known by man. And I can know him. You can know him. We read in Job 22, 21. Acquaint. Is familiarize yourself with him. Acquaint thyself with him. And be at peace. Again, God can be known. And I can know him. You can know him. Acquaint now thyself with him. So we see when we're to acquaint ourselves with God. Now. When is it not now? It's always now. It's always now. Acquaint now thyself with him. Whatever your now consists of. This is good advice. Acquaint yourself with God. In other words, strive to know God. That's our responsibility. That's our duty. To know God. To know God right now. To strive to know Him right now. It's also our opportunity. To know God. So what is it? What does it mean to know God? There are varying degrees of to know. Varying degrees of to know. It can be to be merely informed. The receiving of information. That is a degree of knowledge of a person. You know something about them. You know of them. Knowing about God. Everyone here knows about God. Everyone here knows about God. Knows something about God. Nothing wrong with knowing about God. You ought to know about God. But our knowledge must go much deeper than a mere knowing about God. To know about God is intellectual. It is a what we could call a religious knowledge of God. Again, we all possess. All of us sitting here possess that knowledge. You can't come here on a continual basis or just every now and then and not hear something about God. So you have a knowledge of God. Some have a greater knowledge of God than others. But you receive information about God. And it's good to have a knowledge of God. But as we've said many times, that sort of knowledge by itself will still leave you detached from God. And perhaps even indifferent toward God. People will say, well, I believe in God. I'll ask them, what do you believe? What an opportunity. Someone says, well, I believe in God. What do you believe? What do you believe? And you'll find out they don't even know what they believe many times. And some will express some facts that they have gleaned from somewhere concerning God. And some may even express a deep knowledge of God. But though this knowledge about God certainly is included in our text, yet our text is speaking of something more than just a knowledge about God. It's speaking of something much more personal. To know can mean that you are aware, that you realize or you perceive. You know your neighbor in the fact that you know they live there. You wave to them. You might know their name. And people say, oh yeah, I know him. Well, yes, you do in a very general way. And many people know God in that way. They're aware of God. You're aware that your neighbor lives there. And it's good to have an awareness of God. Most don't. So it's good to have an awareness of the Lord. And once again, everyone here has an awareness of God. You have an awareness of God. And certainly that kind of knowledge is included in our text. But again, the text is speaking of something greater, something more intimate. To know can simply mean that you are acquainted with someone. You may know your neighbor's name. You may know the person's name at the store. You are somewhat familiar with them. You may even talk with them occasionally. You have a personal experience of them. Again, it can be very general. And certainly it's good to have that kind of knowledge concerning the Lord. And certainly that's included in our text. But again, the text goes beyond that kind of knowledge. I believe our text is speaking of a knowledge of relationship with God. It is a close association with God. It is a personal contact and closeness with God. It is a fellowship with God. You talk with Him, He talks with you. He listens, you listen. It's a friendship with God. It's an agreement with God. It's a oneness. So you can have information about God. You can have an awareness of God. You can have a degree of acquaintance with God without having a personal relationship with Him. This personal relationship, as it's described in the Word of God, is you and I being completely taken up with Him, with who He is. It is to enjoy Him on a daily basis. Now, really, there aren't many people that you know that way. You have acquaintances. You are familiar with people. But to enjoy them on a daily basis, that's a special relationship. That's a very special relationship. That is a knowledge of confidence. That is a knowledge of persuasion and conviction and certainty concerning who He is. And you enjoy who He is. Some people, the more you get to know them, the less you enjoy them. That's not so with God. We read in Psalm 46 and verse 10, "Be still," and we've preached from this verse a few times, "and know that I am God." Our text says, "Follow on to know the Lord." Part of that following on is be still. Sometimes we just need to stop and be still and know that I am God. This is a far greater degree of knowing Him. Know that I am God. Psalm 100 in verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Know ye that the Lord, He is God. So in both of these statements, Psalm 46:10, Psalm 100 and verse 3, it is not merely know God. That's not what it says. But know that I am God. Know that I am God. Know that He is God. So it is a knowledge of who He is. It is a knowledge of His person. And again, it's a knowledge, we know Him, we're confident, we're assured, we're absolutely persuaded. We have firm conviction that He is God. You see, a lot of people know of God, but they don't know He is God. Most people, most religious people don't know that He is God. What that entails, He is God. He is God. Most people fight that truth. He is God. It's to know something, it's to know His greatness. He is God. Can you know that He is God without knowing something of His greatness? I don't think so. To know that He is God means you know something of His vastness, His majesty, His glory. Again, a lot of people can know a lot of things about God without knowing that He is God. Knowing His majesty, knowing His glory, knowing His power, His wisdom, His love, His mercy, His long-suffering, His care. Knowing that He is our shepherd. Knowing that He is our helper, our fortress, and our refuge is a knowledge, again, that involves close association with Him, a kinship with Him. And God can be known in this way. And I can know Him in this way. And you can know Him in this way. Is a knowledge, can you know that God is God without that impacting your entire life? I don't think so. It is a knowledge that impacts our life. It is a knowledge that is manifested in our life. To know that He is God. He can be known in that way. Consider the value, the impact of such knowledge. In Jeremiah, if we turn over there, Jeremiah chapter 9, and verse 23, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, his intellect. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might, his power, his position of authority. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, his material possession. So we're told here that wisdom, might, and riches are not the objects in which you and I are to glory. But then notice verse 24. But let him that glorieth, and everyone glories in something. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth, that he possesses a spiritual insight, that's something to glory in, something to give God the glory for, and knoweth me, and knoweth me. And then notice the scope of this knowledge, that I am the Lord. That I am the Lord. That takes us back again to Psalm 46:10, Psalm 100 and verse 3. Know that I am God. Glory that we know that He is the Lord. And then notice what else it says. And which exercise, that speaks of His activity, of His ways, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. You know who God is, you know that God is God, and you know of His activity and His ways. So that's the knowledge that is being spoken of. And this knowledge, this is far more valuable than the wisdom and the might and the riches that were spoken of in verse 23. This knowledge of God, this knowledge of knowing that God is far more valuable than any secular education. Far more valuable than any degree of intellectualism. Far more valuable than position and status. Far more valuable than things. And it is a personal knowledge of God. And it will be valuable to you in all your circumstances. It'll be valuable to you in your marriage. It'll be valuable to you in your home. It will be valuable to you concerning your influence and you being a blessing to the church of which you are a member. It's a valuable knowledge because it is a deterrent to disaster. We read in Hosea chapter 4, in verse 6, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The knowledge we've been talking about. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. The knowledge was right there. But they rejected it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Not for lack of education. Not for lack of intellectualism. Not for lack of a position or a status or having things. But for lack of knowledge. Again, who God is. This knowledge of God is far more useful far more beneficial, far more productive than any other kind of knowledge. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Here is a people in the book of Hosea who are no longer what they once were spiritually. And it goes back to this. They do not know. They do not know God. Here is a people who are now far, far from God. And their lives are marked by vanity. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They had lost their desire for God. They had abused everything that God had given them. Why? Because they lacked knowledge of God. Their lives were steeped in idolatry. They're indifferent toward the Lord. They had an inflated view of themselves. They felt that they were innocent in all the charges that Hosea laid before them. Their lives were marked by spiritual adultery and backsliding. And it's due to a lack of knowledge. Not a knowledge of worldly things, but knowing God. Again, we are to follow on to know the Lord. This is a knowledge that has impact upon us. It has an effect upon us, has an influence upon us. We read in Daniel 11:32, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong." Shall be strong. They shall become something. A knowledge of God, we become something. And then it goes on to say, "and do." And again, we see this order all through the Scriptures. Be and do. Be and do. You become something, then you can do. And we see this knowledge of God causes us to be strong. And then we're able to do exploits. So there's an impact upon our being, and there's an impact upon our activity as well. Again, in Psalm 9, verse 10, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." They who know God will put their trust in thee. People say, "I just find it so difficult to trust God." That's because you don't know Him. Or your knowledge is very limited. Because if you know Him, you know that He is God, it's not that difficult to trust Him. Do I trust someone I don't know? Not likely. There's people I know I don't trust. But we know God, and we trust Him. Jesus said to the woman at the well, John 4, verse 10, "If thou knewest who it is that saith to thee, thou would have." Yep. If you knew, you would. And if people knew God, they would. They would do a lot of things. Jesus is saying, had you known, you would have done differently. How true. The more that you know God, the more you rely upon Him, the more you depend upon Him, the more you lean upon Him, and the more you do those things, guess what? The more you know Him. The more you know God, the more you will look to Him, the more you'll be focused upon Him. And the more you look to Him, again, that knowledge just keeps growing. The more that you know God, the more you embrace Him and cleave to Him. And the more you embrace Him and cleave to Him, the more you know Him. The more you know God, the more you will seek to Him, come to Him, surrender to Him, cast all upon Him. The more that we know God, the more we'll rest in Him. So the more that we know God, the greater our enjoyment of Him. So that's a good question that we should ask ourselves. What is the degree of my enjoyment of God? Because that goes right along with the degree of our knowledge. How great we know Him. The more we love, the more we know God, the more we love God. The greater our desire is to please Him. People who have, doesn't matter to them if they please God or not, they don't know Him. They don't know Him. The more you know God, the greater your joy. The more fervent your praise and worship. And the more that we know God, the greater our ability to press on. Those who know God can persevere. A mere knowledge about God does not necessarily make any impact upon us whatsoever. We see it every Sunday and every Wednesday. There are those who know of God, but it doesn't make any impact on them. But this knowledge that we're speaking about has impact upon our lives. So we're to follow on to know the Lord. And those who follow on to know the Lord will know Him. So that should be our constant pursuit. To follow on to know the Lord. That statement in Hosea 6 verse 3 in our text shows us that knowing God does not just happen automatically or quickly or easily. Follow on to know the Lord. The follow on means to pursue. Pursue earnestly to know God. Pursue passionately to know God. Be fully engaged in obtaining knowledge, this knowledge. Press on to know God. Push forward to know God. It speaks of a personal yearning and desire. What is our yearning? What is our desire to know God? Are we content with what we know? Well, if we are, that shows we don't know as much as you think you do. Because the more you know Him, the more you want to know. Follow on to know the Lord. That should be our desire in all seasons. We have a variety of seasons in our lives. Right now, we are in the summer season, weather-wise. And we're all in that together. But individually, we're not all in the same season. We have different seasons. There are different chapters in our life. But in all seasons and in all chapters, we are to follow on to know the Lord. It may not be the season that you would have chosen for your life. or the chapter. But it is your season. It is your chapter. Follow on to know the Lord. Follow on to know the Lord. In all of our joys, follow on to know the Lord. Don't get so caught up in joy that you forget Him. In all of our pleasures, follow on to know the Lord. In all of our successes, follow on to know the Lord. In all of our trials and all our difficulties and all our struggles, follow on to know the Lord. In times of fullness, follow on to know the Lord. In times of emptiness, follow on to know the Lord. You see, I believe that God brings these different seasons in our lives so that we can learn of God. He puts us in these seasons so that we can know Him in a different way. Follow on to know the Lord in times of peace. Follow on to know the Lord in times of turmoil. Oh, I wish it was always peaceful. Well, it's not. Follow on to know the Lord, whether it be peace or turmoil. You realize churches have problems. There are churches who are almost at civil war with one another. And if everybody would just have this attitude, I'm going to follow on to know the Lord in this situation. Problem solved. If everyone did that, problem solved. Problem goes away. That needs to be our attitude. I'm going to follow on to know God. Whatever my season is. Times of hopelessness, follow on to know the Lord. Why? Because there's hope in Him. In times of weakness, follow on to know the Lord. Because there's strength in Him. In times of weariness, follow on to know the Lord. There's rest in Him. Times of affliction, follow on to know the Lord, for there's comfort in Him. It does not make sense for a child of God to be in a time of weariness, sorrow, affliction, whatever, and get angry with God and say, I'm just not going to talk to God. But you've become your own enemy. He's the only one who can help you. Follow on to know Him. Again, not too long ago, I had a man tell me, I just stopped believing God and I stopped talking to God. I said, do you think you're hurting God? You think that's affected God? What are you trying to achieve? What is it that you're trying to achieve by that? Times of uncertainty, follow on to know the Lord. Because there's certainty. Again, my point is, whatever the season, follow on to know the Lord. That should be our pursuit in all times. Follow on to know the Lord. We should make that our business. Follow on to know the Lord. May not like the season I'm in. May not like the particular chapter of my life. But I tell you what, it'll be a lot better if I make it my business to follow on to know the Lord. We should look at that as God's will for us. People say all the time, well, I'm not sure what God's will is right now. Well, there's a lot of things I can say to that. There are certain things that it's always God's will. It's always God's will for you to know Him. To strive on to know Him. So when you say, well, I'm just not sure of God's will, you just follow on to know the Lord. Because that is God's will. Always is. Oh, how blessed we are. Most of us have been saved for decades, and all the knowledge of knowing Him. It should be increasing day by day. Hopefully I can say I know Him better today than I did yesterday. I know more of God than I did before I was saved. All of us here, that's true. But do I know Him better? Do I know Him better? And that needs to always be increasing. What a privilege to know God. What a blessing. You see, to know God is what gives songs in the night. The book of Job talks about the songs in the night. Knowing God gives those songs in the night. God can give a song when no one else can. Just knowing Him. Just knowing God. How blessed we are. What a blessed people we are to know God. I ask you tonight, do you know Him? Do you know Him? That's our prayer for Home Baptist Church, that each and every one of us would know God. That we would know who God is. Because there's a lot of people out there today who are serving someone they don't even know. I'm here to tell you it's a lot easier to serve if you know who you're serving. Know who God is. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us verse song.